of the body of Christ. Tonight we're going to receive unleavened bread, which is a picture. Paul said it's a remembrance of Christ's broken body that was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. We're also going to receive the fruit of the vine, Jesus called it. A lot of times you'll hear songs and things refer to it as the wine, but actually it's not called wine. It's always called the fruit of the vine. It's the juice, which is a picture or a remembrance of Christ's blood, which he shed for our redemption. Some people call what we're going to do tonight the Lord's Supper. Other people call it the Lord's table. Some call it the Last Supper. Other people call it communion. What you call it really doesn't matter. Here's what matters. Here's what matters. What matters is that when you come to the Lord's table, that you're in fellowship with the Lord of the table. That's what matters. When you come to the Lord's table, you're in fellowship with the Lord of the table. What matters is that you are in communion with God when you are at communion. The word communion means partnership. It means fellowship. The Apostle Paul rebuked the Corinthian church because they were taking the communion of the Lord and they weren't in communion with the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 11, if you'll turn over there, verse number 27, he said, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And so the Apostle Paul here rebukes them because they were taking the communion of the Lord and they weren't in communion with the Lord. How can we be in communion or fellowship with the Lord as we take communion tonight? A couple of thoughts. The first one from this text is this. The first principle of fellowship with God, if you want to be in fellowship, if you want to be in communion with the Lord of the table, the first principle of fellowship with God is that you must be one with His Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to go to chapter 10 now. Go back there, and let's look at verse 16 and 17. He says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are," what's the next thing there? "One bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread." We are all partakers. So they were already a partaker of the one bread. They weren't going to become a partaker by taking this. They were already a partaker of the one bread. Well, what is the one bread that we are partakers of? Go with me to John chapter 6 and keep your bookmarker here. And let me show you the one bread, okay? Go back to John 6. In verse 32, and here we'll see what the one bread is. John 6, verse 32. "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven." Okay, he's telling Israel, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, "but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Verse 34, "Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." Look what Jesus said in verse 35. Jesus said unto them, say it with me, "I am the bread of life." Say that again. "I am the bread of life." Then he says, "He that," notice two things here. "He that" what? "Cometh to me shall never hunger." So that's how you eat of Christ. You come to him. "And he that believeth on me shall never" what? That's how you drink of him. You eat, you partake of Christ, you become one with him and partake of him by coming to him in faith and believing on him. That's how you eat and drink of Christ, is by coming and believing. He's going to tell you what it means to come and partake of him. It's to come and believe on him. If you look down there in verse 48, he says, say that verse. That's a short verse, isn't it? Let's say it together. I am that bread of life. Then he says, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. They ate manna in the wilderness and they're dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof. And? Woo! How's that sound to you? Sound pretty good? Never die? Let me tell you something. Lily Talent didn't die. She just changed locations. See, when a Christian dies, they don't really die. From the world's perspective, we die, but we just change locations. You know, and there's never a second where Lily wasn't alive. Not a second. She just went from living in Daytona Beach to living in heaven. That's the only thing it was. In verse 51, he said, I am the, what is he? What's Christ? Living bread. I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Well, how do I partake of that bread? Well, you go back to verse 35. You got to come to him and believe on him. And that's how you partake of him. That's our responsibility. Come to him and believe on him and partake of the bread of life. And when we do that, what happens? Well, we become one with Christ. You see, later on, Paul got additional revelation. And you know what Paul told us? Paul taught us, the church, the moment you put your faith in Christ, he said, we are of his flesh, and we are of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. The moment you put your faith in Christ, we are so one with him. The moment you put your faith in him, you are so one with Christ, that he said, we're of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Isn't that a great position? We're in Christ. We're in Christ. We are now in a position to have fellowship with God. Can you have fellowship with God if you're not in Christ? No, no, no. You cannot have fellowship with the Father and not be right with the Son. It's not possible. It's just simply not possible. You cannot be right with God and not be right with his Son. God is faithful, Paul said, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 1:9. When we take of that bread at communion, I'm talking about that. When we take of that bread at communion, Jesus said it was symbolic of his broken flesh. And when we do that, we have to know the one that the bread represents and be one with him. You know, some people teach that, some religions teach a very mystical approach to this, and they teach that you take communion, speaking of this, you take these elements in communion in order to become one with Christ. You are ingesting Christ when you take in the ingredients. When I take that bread, I'm ingesting Jesus. Somehow that bread becomes Christ, and when I take in the bread, it mystically becomes Christ, and now I become one with him by taking this. So therefore, I have to keep doing this over and over in order to stay one with him, because I become one with him by taking this stuff. But that's not true. You don't take communion in order to become one with Christ. No, you take communion because you're already one with Christ. There's the difference. I don't take that to become one with him. I take that as a remembrance of the fact I'm already one with him. How can I put my feet under the Lord's table and take this and be in communion if I'm not already one with Christ? I can't fellowship with God if I'm not one with Christ. So therefore, I come and I come to the Lord's table and I take in that communion, those elements, because I've already been made one with him. I'm part of his body. How did I get there? By faith. It's by faith. Paul said you trusted Christ in 1 Ephesians 1. He said, he told them that they had trusted Christ, and he said, the moment you believe the gospel, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, and he said, you're sealed unto the day of redemption. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. I am in Christ. I am one with him. And I am of his body, of his flesh, and his bones. And if I'm not that, then I don't have any business doing this. If you see, we can't be in fellowship or communion with God if we're not, if we're not in fellowship, if we're not in communion with God already, if we're not one with him, then we're in no position to take communion. Paul said, you know who takes this? 1 Corinthians, remember what we read a minute ago? He said, the people who take that are people that are partakers of that one bread. Are you a partaker of the one bread? Yes. Have you partaken of Christ? Are you one with him by faith? Then you know what? Then this is something we can partake in together, because we've been made partakers, already been made partakers of that one bread. So we do this as a remembrance. The second principle of fellowship with God is not only do you have to have been made one with Christ, but the second principle of fellowship with God is that we need to be right with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, we're talking about being in communion, in fellowship with him at communion. How can I be in fellowship, in communion, at communion? Number one, I got to be made one with Christ. I have to have been made one with him. Got to have been saved. The second thing is I need to be right with my brothers and sisters in Christ when I do this. If I'm going to be in fellowship with him, I need to be right with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians 10, if you'll turn back there. 1 Corinthians 10. And notice there in verse 17. 1 Corinthians 10, 17. For we, being many, are what? One bread, and we're one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. So if I've been made a partaker of Christ and I'm one with him, then he says, you know what? If Larry's partaken of Christ and he's one with Christ, and if I've partaken of Christ and I'm one with Christ, he's in Christ, I'm in Christ, then what does that make us? We're in this together, aren't we? We're made one. If I'm one with Jesus and he's one with Jesus, then we're one. Amen? For we being many are one bread. We being many are one body. So there's other members of this one body and this one bread, which is Christ. There's other members too. Go over to chapter 12. Just turn a couple pages there. Chapter 12, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Doesn't all revolve around us, does it? There's many members. He says down there in verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So if we are to have fellowship, if we're to have communion with God, then we have to be right, not only with Christ, be made one with him, we need to be right with all the other folks who are in Christ. You see, if I'm not right in my horizontal relationships with others, how am I going to be right in my vertical relationship with God? And again, the Corinthians failed in this. He said there in chapter 11, go back to chapter 11, verse 18. He said, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be what? Divisions among you. And I partly believe it. Verse 21, for in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. You know what they were doing? The Corinthians were shaming each other. They were trying to put each other to shame. They were trying to embarrass each other. There was no love there. There were divisions. There were contentions. There were envies and pride and jealousy and people shaming each other. And they were in no condition to receive communion because they were out of communion with each other. Now, let's apply that. How about you tonight? Are you in communion with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Is there any hatred in your heart? Is there any bitterness? Any anger? Any pride? You know, if it's there, let me tell you something. That stuff's cancer. We need to get rid of it. You need to get it out of your life. You need to get it out. You need to get rid of it. You need to get that right before you partake tonight. And you need to choose to forgive and get rid of the hatred and the bitterness. Because how are we going to be in fellowship with God if we're not right with each other? Amen, church? The third principle of fellowship with God is this. Not only do I have to be made one with Christ, not only do I need to be right with you, but the third principle of fellowship is this with God. We mustn't have our feet under the devil's table and then also try to put it under the Lord's table. Look at chapter 10, verse number 20. Here's what he tells them. He says, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He?" The Corinthians were trying to place their feet, so to speak, under the Lord's table in the way they live their life. But then they were also trying to put their feet under the devil's table, so to speak. And Paul says, that's not going to work. Notice the word partaker there in verse 21. He says, you cannot be partakers of the Lord's table. That is the same root word as communion. He said, you cannot be in communion with both. Can't be in communion with the devil and God. Can't be in fellowship with the devil and God. And again, the Corinthians failed in this area. As you read the book, and you all know, we studied this book for 3 years. We studied this book. And there was immorality in this church. There was fornication. They were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. There was so much wickedness. And they were unworthy to take the communion of the Lord because they were not in communion with the Lord. You know, I think we need to heed Joshua's words. And this kind of goes with my message this morning, you know, about David. Is there not a cause? I mean, if there's not something worth fighting for here, if there's not something worth living for, then let's just pack up and go home and forget it all. And you know, Joshua, he told Israel, he said, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, well then choose you this day whom you will serve." Choose. Make a choice. Who are you going to serve? You going to serve the devil or are you going to serve God? Which one's it going to be? We need to heed Elijah's words. Elijah the prophet told Israel, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." If the Lord is God, follow Him. If it's Baal, follow him. But get off the fence and follow one of them. Before we take communion, we need to ask ourselves, do I have a desire to follow God and God alone? Or do I want to ride the fence post? Do I want to attempt to follow God and the devil? You know, if you can't make up your mind, then really we got no business partaking of this tonight. Because we're trying to put our feet under the table of the devil, and we're trying to put our feet under the table of the Lord. Paul says that ain't going to work. Can't be in communion with both. That makes this a sham. Now, you know, somebody may ask, are you saying I got to be perfect to take this tonight? Well, if that's the case, you know, if we got to all be perfect, then you know what? We're going to have a lot of leftovers. Gonna have a lot of leftovers, Brother Gary and Miss Jenny. We're gonna have a lot of leftovers. Do I gotta be perfect? No. But listen to me. Listen to me. You don't have to be perfect, but the desire of your heart should be to follow God and Him alone. Yes, you fail. Yes, I fail. But the true desire of our heart ought to be to follow God. We're not just living a lie. We're not just trying to be hypocrites. We're not just trying to play the church game and then go out and live for the devil. That's not our heart. Oh, we mess up, we stumble, we fall. We do stupid things and think, man, why'd I do that? But our heart is to follow God. That's our heart. You say, well, what if I have been serving God and the devil? But I don't want to do that anymore. Should I partake? Can I tell you something tonight? Praise God for His grace and mercy. Amen. So you know what? You can bow your head here in a moment. You can get that right. You can tell God how you been, but how you want to be. God, this is what I've been doing, and it's been wrong. I've been riding the fence. I've been playing games. But I don't want to be that way anymore. I want to worship You and You alone, and I want my heart to be reserved for You. And I want to do right, and I want my heart to be for You and You alone. And like we said this morning, I want to love You with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. You know what? You just get that thing right, and you can partake tonight with a free conscience and know that you can partake. See, this is one of the reasons why we take communion, by the way, because it's a good time to examine ourselves. It's a good time to evaluate our heart. And if there's anything between us and God that we know is hindering our fellowship with Him, we can get it right so that we can place our feet under the Lord's table and know that we are in communion with Him at communion. We're in communion at communion. That's where we need to be tonight. Let's go to God in prayer right now with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. We're just going to have a time for you to pray and to make sure that your heart is where it needs to be with God. And if there are areas that you just need to right now get right with Him and just admit where you've been wrong, and like I've told you before, it's really not an issue of whether you're forgiven or not. The Bible teaches we already have forgiveness in Christ of all of our sins. The issue is your fellowship with God, your walk with Him. That's the issue. And is there sin that has hindered your communion and your fellowship with Him? Sin always does. It doesn't take you out of the body of Christ. It doesn't take away your salvation. It doesn't take away the fact that your sins are forgiven completely through Christ. But it hinders your walk with Him. And that's why you ought to want to get it out of your life and get it right. And if there's areas of your life where you've had your feet under the devil's table, just tell God. Tell God exactly what's been going on. He already knows. So just be honest with Him. Let Him know you're being honest and upfront. Tell Him exactly where you've been wrong, and let Him know the desire of your heart. Let Him know that you want to get it right and you want to change and you want to walk with Him. You want to have that personal walk with Him. And thank Him for the forgiveness of your sins that you already possess in Christ. Thank Him for that. Let Him know how much you appreciate it. Because it's all because of Christ that we have that forgiveness. It's all based on the cross work. It's not based on your actions. The forgiveness of your sins isn't based on you remembering every sin you've ever committed and confessing. You know you'd forget some anyway. The basis of your forgiveness is the finished work of Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross. And your faith in that. Your faith resting in that. That's the basis of our forgiveness. Nothing else. While we have a time of silent prayer, I want to ask the men who will be serving tonight to come and have a seat here as we just continue in prayer. Continue with silent prayer. If there's anybody here that would like to know the Lord tonight, you do not know Him as your personal Savior, we certainly would invite you to come right now. Leave your seat and come. We'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you need to come, you come right now. Father, thank You, Lord, so much for the forgiveness that we possess in Christ. Thank You that we have forgiveness as a present possession, just like our redemption in Colossians 1:14. It's not something every day that's hanging over our head, Lord. Thank You that our redemption and our forgiveness is a completed work that happens when we get saved. But Lord, our heart is to walk with You. We don't want anything to come between You and us and our fellowship with You and our daily walk with You. We want it to be sweet. We want it to be right. Lord, we want Your power to flow through our life. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I pray that our hearts will be right and soft and tender, Lord, as we partake of this communion tonight. We love You, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 11, I think you should already be there. In 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 23, Paul said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you." Well, the Lord Jesus gave Paul personal revelation about what happened that night. Paul wasn't actually there, but the Lord gave him revelation into this. And it says that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks. At this time, we're going to give thanks for the bread, which is a picture or a remembrance of what of Christ's body that He gave on the cross for us. That bread is a picture of the body of Christ that He gave on that cross for you and I. His body was broken. It was mutilated for you and I. And He bore in that body our sins. So let's give thanks for that right now. And I'm going to ask Brother Tony Foster, one of our deacons, if he would, to give thanks for the bread tonight, for the body of Christ.
Let's pray. Father God, we praise You tonight for the opportunity to celebrate our salvation through the broken body of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Father, we do come to You humbly and undeserving.
Yes.
Lord, for the salvation that we enjoy. Mm. And we just pray that You'll help us to remain thankful.
Yes, Father.
And mindful of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf.
Amen.
And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. When He had given thanks, He break it. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask the men to stand at this time, guys, and begin to distribute the bread. We're going to have a time of silent prayer, or you can read the Bible as we distribute the bread. I would ask you to wait. When we all have our bread, we'll partake together. Okay? So let's just have a time now where you can meditate on the Word of God or pray at this time. Thank you. Well, the Bible says that he gave thanks and he broke it. And then Jesus said to them, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Verse 25 says, "After the same manner also he took the cup." The cup is a picture of the blood that he shed for us on the cross. As we read the Bible, we know that the cup is symbolic of that blood that he gave. He paid the price for our sin. In the Old Testament, they'd take the blood of animals and it would provide a covering for sin for Israel nationally once a year. And for people, they could bring a trespass offering, a sin offering, and they could bring these offerings and it would provide a temporary covering of sin. But when Jesus Christ shed his blood, the Bible says he took that blood and he entered into the holiest place in heaven. And he sprinkled it on the mercy seat of heaven, in the tabernacle of heaven. And there, by doing that, he provided eternal redemption for you and I. Not a temporary covering. When we come to Christ, we get a complete cleansing of our sin. Not a temporary covering, but a complete cleansing. A washing away of our sins. And that's what the cup represents. That blood that he shed and then took to the mercy seat of heaven, that blood is represented by that cup, the juice in the cup. So at this time, we're going to give thanks for that blood. And we're so thankful for it. Brother Larry, I'm going to ask you, if you would, to hand the microphone over here to Brother Mike Rich. And I'm going to ask him, if he would, to pray and to give thanks for the blood of Christ tonight, for the cup.
Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your precious blood.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your covering over the mercy seat for us. Mm. Thank you that, Father God, you don't see any sin through that blood.
Amen.
But we have the victory.
Yes.
We have victory through you, Christ, through your precious blood.
Amen.
And as John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world." Lord Jesus, you did it all.
Yes.
And you did it all on that cross. And
Amen.
We thank you. Thank you, Lord, for shedding that precious blood and covering our sins. Thank you for that power. And Lord, we love you. We give you praise and glory and honor for it all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So this time, guys, if you would, let's hand the cup out. Again, hold on to the cup and we'll all partake together here in just a moment.
Thank you.
Let's sing that chorus together while we're waiting on the guys to come. Jesus paid it all.
Jesus paid it all. Left a crimson stain, he washed it white as...
Sing it again.
Jesus made it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as...
says, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink of this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. This is a testimony tonight, what we're doing. I'm going to ask you to put your cups there in the pew in front of you. There should be a space there for you to put it. And I just am so thankful. I'm going to ask the ushers if they would. We always do a benevolent love offering for the poor and needy. If you have been blessed and you're able to give tonight, it's every penny goes into a benevolent fund, and we use that to help people that are in need. And so, if you can give tonight and you're able to, great. If not, then that's okay too. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. Let's pray. Father, we pray you'll bless this offering tonight. And Lord, I pray you'll use us to be a blessing to those who are in need. Use us to be a blessing, Father. Lord, I know that many times our brothers and sisters hit hard times or they need help, and we just want to be there to help them. So, Lord, help us to reach out and to be a blessing to others, to take the blessings that we have and then use them to be a blessing to others. May we never be greedy and stingy, but may we have a giving heart like you, Jesus. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.